Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are in Psalm 44, and we've looked at the first 8 verses of it. It's a little Selah at the end of it, right? And now there's about, 16 more verses, I think, somewhere around there. But I want to go back and read these 8 verses to set the context before we move into verse 9, because this is really interesting. I don't know, the words popping in my mind. It's sort of disturbing. So verse 1 says this, O God, we have heard with our ears, our fathers have told us what deeds you perform in their days, in the days of old. You, with your own hand, drove out the nations, but them you planted. You afflicted the peoples, but them you set free. For not by their own sword did they win the land, nor by their own arm save them. But your right hand and your arm and the light of your face, for you delighted in them. You are my king, O God. Ordain salvation or command victories for Jacob. So that right there gives us a little bit of a hint about something that we're about to discover. Command victories for Jacob. Though through you we push down our foes, through your name we tread down those who rise up against us. For not in my bow do I trust, nor can my sword save me. But you have saved us from our foes and have put to shame those who hate us. Verse 8, in God we have boasted continually, and we will give thanks to your name forever. Selah. So think on that, is what he's saying, the psalmist. Then verse 9, but, this is what the psalmist says, but you have rejected us and disgraced us and have not gone out with our armies. So the balance of this psalm is basically saying, God, we trust in you. We know that it's by your might, by your power, but we're being defeated right now. You're not with us, and we don't know why. Verse 10, look at the detail of this. You have made us turn back from the foe, and those who hate us have gotten spoil. In other words, they've been defeated. They've had to turn and run. They have lost things in this spoil. They've been plundered. Verse 11, you have made us like sheep for slaughter and have scattered us among the nations. The King James, King James, New American Standard Lexham. Yeah, that sheep for slaughter, yeah. But they say, thou hast given us like sheep for meat. You've given us as sheep to be eaten. Not just slaughter for the sake of killing something, but for food. Verse 12, you have sold your people for a trifle, demanding no high price for them. This is a really bold statement to be making before the Lord. God, you've sold us out. You sold your people cheaply. Okay, not for any profit. You sold us below market value. This is what the psalmist is saying. And what's cool about this, though it's a hard thing to hear and read, is that the psalmist knows that he can take these things before the Lord, and he can share his heart. He can reveal his heart because God already knows. 13, you have made us the taunt of our neighbors, the derision and scorn of those around us. You have made us a byword among the nations, a laughingstock among the peoples. All day long, my disgrace is before me, and shame has covered my face at the sound of the taunter and the reviler, at the sight of the enemy and the avenger. All this has come upon us, though we have not forgotten you, and we have not been false to your covenant. So all these things from verses 9 through verses 16 are things that in the rest of the Old Testament, God said, this is what will happen if you turn against me. Okay? If you turn against me, these things will occur. And these things have occurred, but they haven't turned against God. They hadn't forgotten God. He says, we have not been false to your covenant. In other words, they'd been living the way they were supposed to and doing what they're supposed to, and yet these things are happening. Verse 18, our heart has not turned back. nor have our steps departed from your way. Yet you have broken us in the place of the jackals and covered us with the shadow of death. This psalm is actually quite descriptive of our lives sometimes, believers, that we really haven't sinned. We haven't done things that we would understand would bring difficult situations into our life. So therefore, God, why is this happening? That's what he's asking. Verse 20, if we'd forgotten the name of our God or spread out our hands to a foreign God, would not God discover this? For he knows the secrets of the heart. In other words, if they had gotten involved in false worship, if they had pursued other gods, God knows the secret of the heart. He knows these things. He would have discovered it, and that the punishment would have been just, would have been right. But why is this happening? Verse 22, yet for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. That's intense, is it not? Paul actually quotes that psalm right there in Romans 8:36, and he applies it and is talking about the suffering that believers will have sometime. We do really, really well to pay close attention to how the Scripture interprets the Scripture and how the Scripture applies the Scripture. So Paul quotes this verse right here and speaking of how believers will undergo suffering. Because of that, I can tell you that this psalm right here applies to believers and applies to us, and we have some things to glean here. So what does the psalmist do? The psalmist is saying, hey, it's for your sake that we're being killed all day long. In other words, on account of your name, because we are your people, because we're believers in this particular context right here, it's because we're your people, the Hebrew people. For us, it's because we are believers. But we're regarded just to be like sheep to be slaughtered because of who we are. So the psalmist closes the psalm by these statements. Awake. Why are you sleeping, O Lord? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. He's considering it to be the rejection of the Lord because they're going through these things and God hadn't helped them yet. And he's saying, God, arouse yourself. Wake up. Is he saying that God's asleep? Well, no, he knows better than that. He knows what the prophet says, that the Lord slumbers not nor sleeps. Okay? But what he's saying is, God, I need you to do something. It's as if you are sleeping. Because he says, why are you sleeping, O Lord? He says, awake, move, do what we need to be done to be saved here. Verse 24, why do you hide your face? Why do you forget our affliction and oppression? So these are legitimate questions that we face. God, why is this happening? Why is this coming? Verse 25, for our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our belly clings to the ground. Last verse, 26. Rise up, come to our help. Redeem us for the sake of your steadfast love. Oh, there it is again. We've seen that loving kindness thing. The chesed, the love of God, the loyal love that he's speaking of. Redeem us, Lord, for the sake of your loyal love, your steadfast love, your loving kindness, for your mercy's sake. I just think it's interesting how the psalm starts off, and you think, oh yeah, this is going to be a really encouraging psalm, et cetera, et cetera. And then you get the last two-thirds of it, and you find out the reality of what's happening. Very descriptive of our lives, is it not? It really is. Well, again, I'm Dale. Hey, thank you for your time. I'll see you in the next episode.